Okay. Superintendent's report.
I'm gonna hold on my agenda items, just because I know we have, I used a lot of time for the awards as well as the strategic planning, so I will defer at this point.
Okay. Treasurer's report.
Well, if he defers, I'm gonna have to speak then, so.
It's only fair.
It's only fair, correct. So I will just say very briefly, one, a very happy Thanksgiving to everyone. I hope you enjoy the time with family and friends and enjoying turkey or whatever other else you choose to eat. But just two quick notes, something for you guys to think about. Our next meeting will be December 9th, I believe, is the date of it. And at that meeting, I'd like the board to start thinking about two pieces, specifically electing a president pro tem who serves from January 1st through the organizational meeting. So I will have that on the next agenda, but you'll need to, you know, ponder that and think about who might want to serve in that capacity, as well as we need to set a date for the organizational meeting at the December 9th meeting. So by law, the board has to approve a alternate tax budget no later than January 15th, then I have to file it with the county. So my preference would be not to wait until January 15th, but if there's, if you'd look at your calendars, and we'll discuss it at the December 9th meeting, looking at a date in early January, no later than the 14th, so that we can meet and have a tax budget hearing, and hopefully the board would approve the tax budget. We'd also have our organizational meeting to go through the standard setup of the board for the new year. So we'll also want to include our new member, Ms. Pernott, to make sure that she can make the date as well. But just two things on your radar to work through.
Do you want to, can we set it now so that people could have that on their calendars, or
does
it have to be set in December?
It does not have to be set in December. I mean, again, I without Dr. Stoll here and Ms. Pernott, I'd prefer, you know, not to formally set it without them, but if you want to start discussing it right now, and sure.
Tentatively set it, because I have,
yeah.
I have talked to Bob Stoll about it.
Yep.
I haven't talked to Liz, but really the latest it could be is January 13th, that Monday, and if that's not going to be good for people, then we'd really need to do it probably during the week of the previous week sometime, other than the Monday, because that's just coming back to school on the 6th, and that might not be.
January 13th would be the second Monday of the month. We've typically, at least this calendar year, we had the second and fourth Mondays of the month tied up. So I have no problem, you know, sending that out, and that we can formally vote at the next meeting on it once we've kind of run it by everybody. But Mr. Finucane or Mr. Kraft, is there an issue with that at all?
I'm pretty flexible.
I'll make myself available the 6th or the 13th.
Okay.
Or during the week,
yeah.
I'll notify Dr. Stoll and Liz Pernott just to say tentatively, and then we'll vote on it in December.
Perfect.
Because people's work schedules and stuff.
I will say it's certainly most important on people's schedules for the five board members. If it is between the 6th and 13th and people are available on both dates, personally I would prefer the 13th as the 6th is coming right back from the holidays, and we're not going to have full staff as we work to prepare the alternate tax budget and get the agenda in place. So if it would be possible to shoot for the 13th, but I certainly understand the availability of the five board members is more important than my preference on it. Other than that, I will go over each of the agenda items, but I'll wait until we get to those items as we have some board business to work in between, if that's okay.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, next up is our board item of resolution to approve Westlake Porter Public Library trustee, new trustee. And Mr. Mangles, you're gonna take care of that.
I'll take care of that for you. Andrew Mangles, director of Westlake Porter Public Library and Westlake resident as well. So first of all, I'd like to thank you for allowing us to be here. For those in the audience who may or may not know, or wherever this is being broadcast, the Westlake Porter Library is a school district library, which means that the school district is our taxing authority and also is the appointer of our trustees. The ORC does not specify the process by which that happens, but over a long period of time, it has been worked out that the Library Board of Trustees recruits, interviews, and makes a recommendation of candidate, forwards that information to the school board for their consideration, and ultimately, the school board does have final authority for making making that appointment. So we're very thankful to you for taking the time to do that. I would also like to point out that one of our trustees, Bob Plant, is here with us this evening. Bob has been a trustee member for, is it 16 years now? 16 years, I believe.
Who's counting?
And has brought his experience to this committee to help us bring our recommendation to you this evening. We had seven candidates, six from Westlake and one from outside of Westlake, which, just so you're aware, you do not have to live in Westlake to be a trustee on the library board. So we had a variety of candidates, and they were all excellent candidates. And as you can probably imagine, it is a really, really tough decision. There were two rounds of interviews to ensure that we were getting the right person. And at the end of the day, the Board of Trustees is recommending that of those seven, Kate Maber be appointed to the library board. Kate is fairly new to Westlake, but she and I have something in common. We both started libraries as a shelver, so I thought that was interesting in her background. She then went on to become a library trustee, which I have not done yet. I'm on the other side of that, but she has been involved in libraries her entire life. Her board experience was with libraries in Vermont, and she also has experience in Chicago libraries, so she's been in many different types of libraries. She currently heads up the Lutheran Metropolitan Ministry in Cleveland. Very active in the community. Just immediately coming to Westlake, one of the things that was, she had just moved to town, and one of the first things she did was join the library in the Memorial Day parade. That's how she wanted to meet people and get involved and support her local public library. She also has background in fundraising, which, as you well know, that's something that we all have to be aware of in the public sector. So she brings just a lot of great things to the table. We think that she will augment an already excellent Board of Trustees for your public library. So that's what we're recommending this evening, is the approval of Kate Maber as the new board. I also would like to mention that our outgoing, if she is approved, she would be replacing Lindsay English. Lindsay served a 7-year term on the board, a very distinguished tenure, I might add. Well, Lindsay has been fantastic. She is a dean at Tri-C, and she's been able to bring her connections and connection to the community to help build the library and further it. So we're going to miss her experience, but gain from Kate, if you would prefer.
Okay, is there a motion to approve Board Item 4A, to approve Westlake Porter Public Library Trustee Kate Maber?
So moved.
Second.
Any further questions or discussion?
Sounds like you did a great job.
Yes.
The board did a fantastic job. They always do their due diligence by interviewing every candidate and being very thorough. They do a great job.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for being great partners with Westlake Schools. How are we as neighbors so far?
All of the fears that people had have not materialized.
Awesome.
We just did a recent report. One of the fears that we had was going to be a lot of unattended children, you know, 6-7-year-old that just walked over. And that really has not panned out at all. It's all been very positive. My staff has repeatedly commented on, and they, in a very positive way, the joyful noise that comes from the playground next door. When the drive-up window opens and they can hear kids laughing and having fun. It actually is a real positive experience for library staff. They love it. So it's been great, and we just recently got back the information from your and our architect. We shared an architect, Lesko. The path will be built between the two buildings that will help facilitate teachers taking children over to the school and us being able to take things over, furthering that bond and that strength between the district and the library to make sure that we're doing the best for our community. So we're thrilled that the school's next door, and look forward to all the great things that we can do.
And we are extending that fence, I promise.
So the fence that goes by the library, I went to Dr. Goggin and I said, you know, I think Westlake school kids are actually pretty smart. They're going to figure out how to get out of there.
Yeah.
But to our knowledge, it's been less kids trying to get out of, I know of no instances of kids trying to escape, more the middle schoolers that come over and then they go to the playground.
Yeah.
That was always their cut through. Anyway.
Yeah.
Now, right around this time, I mean, I think over the break or something, there we do have Elyria Fence coming out and having that extended.
Well, it's been fantastic. We really do value the partnership as well. Out of all the things that could have gone there, we were thrilled that it's a school.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, no further questions or discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Kraft?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Fanukin?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay.
Thank you all for your time very much, and
I
wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you as well.
And Bob, you as well.
Thanks,
Bob.
Thank you.
I think Bob is probably due for a bonus, right?
Andrew said he was working on it.
Okay.
Double area.
Double.
Last year.
Careful, we'll sign up to a fourth term.
One of these times.
That's his FDR every year. I got to go to the next thing. So.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Thanks, Bob.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, treasures.
All right, I just have three things on tonight, so I'll go over two of them quickly, take a little longer on letter C. First one is permanent appropriations. The appropriation measure is there. I do like to include the changes so that you can see that there. As you can see, most of this is just moving around money in between accounts. So the way that we have the process set up is when the board sets the budget, that is set in place. They set the appropriations, and then changes, because let's say a building principal estimated they would need X number of dollars in supplies, but no, they're actually going to buy a Chromebook, and so that would be equipment. So we need to move in between these appropriation accounts. So those changes have to go through. They make a request to Dr. Goggin. And then Dr. Goggin will either approve it after looking into it or deny it. If it's approved, it then comes to the board for formal approval of shifting the money in between the accounts. So you'll see tonight, we did add a little bit of money under, I believe it was the administration level of supplies, where we had needed to purchase some things at the administrative level, but it's about a $1,600 increase in appropriations. And overall, when we look at our full appropriations, we're $53 million, I believe, we're sitting at. At $53.6 million, it's a $1,500 increase, well below still where we have our five-year forecast set. Next one I have tonight is then and now certificates. I know we go, over these all the time. You'll see on there that the big one is the Xerox. As you're fully aware, over the summer we had started switching over to Blue Technologies. This was as we were still using the machines a little bit and had the machines on site into September. We still owe payments for those, but now the machines have been picked up, taken back, returned, all of that fun stuff. So this is the last one that I'm expecting right now, unless there's some sort of damage thing that they would be coming back for. But other than that, I think it's spelled out there on the rest of them. The last one I just want to take a couple minutes and discuss with you is this is a situation here. You'll see it's with Hunter's Chase Apartments Complex. We use an attorney, David Seed from Brinza McIntyre Seed, for our property cases. And what we use this attorney for is they kind of monitor the property values for homes and businesses in the community. And specifically, they look into, with a database, looking at sales. So this is a situation where the Hunter Chase apartment complex was sold. I'm just trying to bring up some of the information here. It was sold a couple of years ago. Where it was valued by the county at just about $16 million, okay, it had a sale price of $22.1 million. So our attorney, with my approval, filed a tax value complaint with the county asking for an increase. We actually put it at $24.4 million as it was sold, I believe, in 2017. 16, was it 16? Thank you. So it was sold a couple of years ago, so we went a little bit higher. So instead of going through the process of you know, the county's backlogged, and then if they're not, if either party's not happy with the result from the county, it would then go to the state. Instead of going through that process, this is a settlement agreement that in return for us dropping the case for the next, for tax years 2018, 19, and 2020, okay, they would make a direct payment to the district of around $80,000 per year. So we would get, on the execution of this agreement, we would get the first $80,000, the next 80 would still be in this fiscal year. I believe it's set for March, if I remember correctly, and then the following one would be a year later there. Or the next fiscal year. So this would really, what our goal is when we do these is to make the district whole. So we reduce our legal fees, we make the district whole, and the reason that it's 3 years is because then that will be the revaluation or the update that they do at the county level, and then we'll let the county deal with it. If the county doesn't change it back to a level that we think is appropriate, we'll be right back to where we are and file the complaint and look to do that. But I strongly recommend if we can come to an agreement with a taxpayer like this, instead of going through the full process can be both take a lot of time, and unfortunately is a costly process as we pay an attorney, you know, hundreds of dollars an hour to go through this process for us. So, you know, I'm fairly happy with this. I think it's, instead of the $24 million we're asking, we're settling on about $22 million. Which is about their sale price, with some personal property that was included, which I don't know how much personal property would be in an apartment complex, but that's beside the point. They're saying there was some, but not a sizable amount for us. So I would ask the board to consider this tonight. It is on my recommendation, our attorney, David Seeds, as well. So if you have any questions on any of those three, I'm happy to ask answer them. If not, we can combine all three into one.
Okay. Is the county aware of when you file a claim like that against a corporation?
Oh, absolutely. We file it with the county.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's I get my terminology mixed up, and I apologize for it, so I'm going to look it up here real quick. But there's the Board of, so it's the Cuyahoga County Board of Revision. Okay, so the Board of Revision is at the county level, okay, and then there's the Board of Tax Appeals, which is at the state level. And sometimes I flip those, so I apologize. But the Board of Tax Revision, we filed with the Board of Revision, so the county is very aware of our filing of our complaint on the property values. Now, the problem is, you know, the county, you know, is backlogged for, you know, a large number of complaints that have been made, both on people, taxpayers arguing that their valuation's too high, as well as taxing authorities who may be arguing that, in some cases, the tax values are too low. So, you know, we have a handful of, well, to be honest, we have more than a handful of challenges out there, and this is one that we were able to come to an agreement with the taxpayer without continuing it further.
I was just wondering if it would influence them at all in the next tax evaluation too.
It really will. I'm honestly, you know, very surprised that it wasn't caught in this case. Normally, the county will use a sales transaction. So, you know, the kind of the order of operation that the county will go in setting values on your property, whether it's a homeowner or a business like this, it will use the sale price, number one. Okay, so if it was a within a reasonable amount of time sale, if you bought it for $22 million, we know somebody thought it was worth $22 million. Yeah. Okay, so they go sale price first. If it doesn't have a sales price or a sale within a reasonable amount of time, they go back and do what's called arm length transactions. Okay, are there other things like this? So if your home is a 4-bedroom, 2,000 square foot, you know, home here in Westlake, what are other homes selling that are 4-bedroom, you know, 2,000 square foot? Okay. Oh, look, we've had 5 of them sold at an average price of $250,000. Your home's valued at $250,000. Then the third step below that would be is when they look at like a citywide increase. There's no sale price for your own home or property. There's no real comparative ones that have been at the time. So now they say, okay, in Westlake in general, we're seeing sale prices of other properties going up by 5%. You get a 5%, you know, a valuation increase. So they kind of work through that process, and it's done twice in every six-year period. There's a the sextennial actual reappraisal when they go through once every 6 years, and they reappraise all. They're required by law to reappraise all properties in the county. And then in between, halfway in between, there's the triennial update, where they do an update of those if they can find sales or comparative sales.
How does the $80,000 a year compare to, is it getting us whole, or is it a negotiated rate?
No, my understanding of it, it's making us whole, but it's a reduction for the taxpayer because they're not paying the other taxes that our other taxpayers are out there.
So they're agreeing on a higher assessment, but then they're just using our percentage of the millage.
Correct. Correct. So that, yeah, they for them it works out. Again, they don't have to go through the process of the attorney fees and the time that it takes. Typically speaking, and I'll be honest, because we're footing the bill as for the attorneys, we fight for the tax valuation or the tax money that we would collect. There are other taxpayers. Property taxes don't go exclusively to the school district. A small percentage goes to the city. A larger percentage goes to the county. You've got Port Authority. You've got library. You have Metro Parks. I mean, there's a number of taxpayers in there. We look at what is the district itself is being harmed.
So the district is receiving the district's funds because of your work?
Well, because of the work of our attorney,
Mr. Seed,
yes, David Seed.
Seed, like planting seed?
Yeah, S-E-E-D.
Okay. Yep. I'm just fascinated with that process, and sometimes we discuss that process in finance committee meetings, as well as we bring them out to the board as well. So I thank you, and I'm just curious how. Were you aware of this as a result of the sale?
So no, not necessarily. Okay. What happened is, what I was aware of is Mr. Seed would, you know, typically we do a lot of emailings, but he emailed me a listing of all the properties in the district that he believes would have a sizable change in valuation because of a sale or arm length transaction. We spoke about them, went over them. You know, an example would be, generally speaking, I am adverse against filing against homeowners. Okay, you know, it's usually not. We're not talking about a ton of money here. We're not talking about, you know, a big time. Now, I will say here in Westlake, I have asked them, I've made some exceptions to that because there are some homes that are substantially more valuable than an average home would be. And so if you have a $5 million home and they're seeking a $1 million valuation, mm-hmm. you know, we have, you know, taken a look at those. But generally speaking, we're not looking, you know, if there's not a increase in value of a few hundred thousand dollars, it's not, I won't say it's not worth it, but it's, you know, it's a lot of time, effort, and potentially we may pay the attorney more than what we would have a return on our investment for it. So we kind of push those to the side. But you do have a lot of commercial property here in the district, and we've run into some situations where you have some sales of properties that are unusual, I'll put it that way. And you know, and that can be with some hotels a lot of times that you mm-hmm. see that, where you have a hotel that, and in fact, I was just reading about a hotel, I think in Cranes here in Westlake, that was sold recently. And you know, we're gonna have to argue over the valuation on that because it was sold as a portfolio of hotels where the owner had owned, you know, a handful or a dozen or more different hotels and sold the entire portfolio to get out of the business. To get out of that line of business for whatever reason. And, you know, oftentimes that doesn't give the accurate valuation mm-hmm. of that property. So, you know, we get into arguments over things like that.
Thank you.
Thanks for fighting on behalf of our community and our kids.
Well, and ultimately, this makes more, this brings in money here for this three-year period. The other piece of it, too, one of the main reasons that we do it is, remember, just because the valuation goes up, we're not necessarily mm-hmm. getting more money, okay? But when we look at the commercial properties, we want to make sure they're paying their fair share compared to residentials. So as we look to increase that valuation, when it comes through the triennial and we work through the county reappraises it, it will actually lower the tax rate for homeowners mm-hmm. as the commercial property increases. Mm-hmm. So.
Good, thank you. Okay, is there a motion to approve Treasurer's recommendations 5A, B, and C?
So moved.
Second.
Any further questions for Todd or no?
Thank you, Mr. C, for bringing this to your attention.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, roll call.
Finucane?
Yes.
Kraft?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Motion carries.